Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
We begin today's program with news related to United States politics. Dan Friedel reports.
Donald Trump won another state in his effort to become the Republican Party nominee for president. He earned 46% of the vote in the Nevada caucus. Florida Senator Marco Rubio won 24% of the vote, and Texas Senator Ted Cruz came in third with 21%. Retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson and Ohio Governor John Kasich were far behind. It is Trump's third win in a row after winning primaries in New Hampshire and South Carolina earlier this month. Trump said he is now winning the country and he will pick up more Republican supporters as his rivals drop out of the race. The next big test for Trump and the other candidates is March 1st. That day is called Super Tuesday. More than 10 states will hold primaries and caucuses that day. By then, the Republican nomination process will be almost one-third over. A candidate needs at least 1,237 delegates in order to earn the party's nomination heading into the election in November. A poll of voters by CNN showed Trump had supporters across most demographic groups. Trump said he was happy he was the top vote-getter among Hispanic voters in the caucus. He has support, even though he said he wants to build a wall between Mexico and the United States. He said he wants Mexico to pay for it. Matt Dalek is an assistant professor at George Washington University's Graduate School of Political Management. He says some important questions emerge after Trump's winning streak. Where can he be stopped? Where is he deprived of a victory or multiple victories? And who will do the stopping? The answer will become clearer next week. I'm Dan Friedel.
Tornadoes destroyed homes and neighborhoods in the southeastern United States Tuesday. Dorothy Gundy tells us more.
Tornadoes crushed mobile homes and destroyed neighborhoods in the southeastern United States during severe weather Tuesday. At least three people were dead when tornadoes hit southern Louisiana and Mississippi. The National Weather Service said that seven tornadoes were confirmed from west of New Orleans to southern Mississippi. In Mississippi, one person died when a tornado destroyed a mobile home. In Louisiana, two people were killed and more than 100 mobile homes and recreational vehicles were demolished by a tornado 100 kilometers west of New Orleans. Police and volunteers were still searching the mobile home park for survivors. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards said people are still missing. These travel trailers were picked up thrown a considerable distance and just mangled, he said after visiting the scene. Ambulances from surrounding communities transported more than 30 residents of the neighborhood to hospitals. Edwards declared a state of emergency in the severely damaged areas of Louisiana. Tornadoes were spotted near New Orleans' Louis Armstrong International Airport and Lake Pontchartrain. Severe storms around New Orleans destroyed roofs and downed trees. Many residents were without electrical power Wednesday in the region. Other states receiving bad weather from the storm included Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. A tornado was reported near Pensacola, Florida. That tornado caused property damage and injuries. Schools in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Florida canceled school classes ahead of Wednesday's storm threat. Heavy rain and severe weather are forecasted from Washington, D.C. to Florida this week. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
The European Chamber of Commerce in Beijing says the European Union should not be considered a market economy for trade purposes. Mario Ritter has more.
The European Union is unlikely to lift some trade barriers on China later this year because of worries that Chinese exports will lead to job loss in member nations. That is what the European Chamber of Commerce in Beijing said in a report announced Monday. Earlier this year, workers representing trade unions in 17 countries demonstrated in Brussels. Some carried signs that read, "Stop China Dumping," and "Say No to MES for China." MES means market economy status. The unions blame both China and Russia for creating job losses. Job growth in Europe has been slow for 19 straight months up to last December. Jorga Vutka is president of the European Chamber of Commerce in China. He says unrest is making it extremely difficult for European politicians to support China's request for being granted the status of a market economy. The European Parliament has discussed China's market economy status request. If it is granted, the move would reduce trade barriers and make it easier for Chinese exports to flow to Europe. Critics warn that could lead to the dumping of goods at unfairly low prices. In trade, dumping is defined as selling a product in a foreign country at below its price at home. My personal observation of the Parliament is that it is pretty much unified that China is challenging jobs in Europe, and it doesn't matter whether you are a north or south of Europe parliamentarian, you are pretty much against it, Vutka said. The group says Chinese companies have machine overcapacity and low demand. Companies have tried to export surplus steel, which has pushed down global prices. Factories in Europe have closed. It has also resulted in a growing number of anti-dumping investigations into Chinese products, the European Business Group said. The European Chamber of Commerce released a report entitled Overcapacity in China. Vutka said researchers estimate job losses in Europe could be between 100,000 and 10 million. However, China needs to export more goods to save jobs at home. The group of countries that make up the European Union is China's biggest trade partner. But the EU has introduced anti-dumping cases that can block the flow of Chinese goods. China has been open about the problem as it has offered a plan to close down so-called zombie corporations. These companies continue to make more than they sell and keep workers on wage rolls, though their machines are idle. The government's plans include cutting 100 million to 150 million tons of low-end steel capacity and 500 million tons of coal production. But the government is reluctant to follow through on its own plans because of the massive job losses that would follow. Preserving jobs remains a key concern. Last year, a state-owned coal company laid off 100,000 workers over a three-month period. Hundreds of thousands in the coal and steel sector could lose their jobs in the coming months. Vutka said some government agencies are encouraging some businesses to grow even as they struggle with overcapacity. According to the chamber, only one of the eight industry sectors it studied was not affected by overcapacity. All others were suffering from extremely low demand for the amount of goods they can produce. Regional governments and local banks are encouraging such companies because they continue to chase economic growth. They are also blocking mergers and acquisitions because they are worried about the tax losses that could bring. I'm Mario Ritter.
Next, Katie Weaver brings us a story about the movie industry in the United States.
A new study finds that major media companies in the United States whitewash the films and movies they produce. The researchers say women and minorities are almost invisible on all levels of the industry. The Media Diversity and Social Change Initiative at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism did the study. It offers one of the widest examinations of the film and television industries. It gives a failing rating on diversity to all major movie studios and most producers of television. Hollywood is already under attack over the lack of diversity among Academy Award nominations. For the second straight year, all the acting nominees are white. The awards ceremony takes place Sunday night. The new study is called the Comprehensive Annenberg Report on Diversity. It provides further evidence of a deep gender, racial, and ethnic divide between Hollywood and the American population it entertains. USC professor Stacy L. Smith co-wrote the report. She told a reporter, "We don't have a diversity problem, we have an inclusion crisis." The researchers examined the 109 films released by major studios in 2014. They also looked at 305 scripted, first-run TV and digital series
from 31 networks and streaming services. All aired from September 2014 to August 2015. More than 11,000 speaking characters were studied for gender, racial, ethnic, and LGBT representation. Some 10,000 directors, writers, and show creators were examined, as was the gender of more than 1,500 executives. The study found widespread underrepresentation in all media studied. The lack was spread from top positions in media companies to minor characters in production content. The study authors wrote, "Overall, the landscape of media content is still largely whitewashed." In the 414 studied films and series, about a third of speaking characters were female. 28.3% were from minority groups. That is about 10% less than represented in the U.S. population. More than 74% of characters 40 years and older are male, compared to 25.7% female. Just 2% of speaking characters across film and television were LGBT identified. Among the 11,306 speaking characters studied, only 7 were transgender. 4 of them were from the same series. The lack of diversity is even greater behind the camera. 87% of directors are white. Among broadcast television directors, the percentage is even higher, at 90.4%. Just 15.2% of directors, 28.9% of writers, and 22.6% of series creators were female. In film, the gender divide is greatest. Only 3.4% of the films studied were directed by women. And only 2 directors out of the 109 were black women: Ava DuVernay, who made Selma, and Ama Asante, who directed the film Belle. USC has been publishing different forms of the study for the last 10 years. The researchers have added a new measurement in the latest study. The so-called Inclusivity Index rates the performances of 21st Century Fox, CBS, NBC Universal, Sony, The Walt Disney Company, Time Warner, Viacom, Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix. Those companies involve all the broadcast networks, most major cable channels, all of the major movie studios, and 3 of the leading streaming services. Each was rated by their percentage of female, minority, and LGBT characters, and of female writers and directors. None of the 6 major studios rated better than 20% overall. The report concludes that the film industry operates as a straight, white boys' club. Some of the same companies, however, scored better when their TV and digital offerings were evaluated. Disney, the CW, Amazon, and Hulu all scored 65% and above. Stacy Smith said, "There is hope in television. Everyone in film is failing. All of the companies investigated. They're impervious to change. But," she said, "there are pockets of promise in television. There is a focus that change is possible. The very companies that are inclusive, Disney, CW, Hulu, Amazon to some degree, those companies, if they're producing and distributing motion pictures, can do this. We now have evidence that they can, and they can thrive," she said. USC researchers also, for the first time, added gender analysis of those 10 companies' leaders. They found that women represent about 20% of leadership positions. Catherine Piper was a co-author of the study. She said the number of women decrease as power or respect linked to job position increases. Some of the study's most troubling finds are simply absences. Roughly 50% of the examined content did not feature a single Asian or Asian American character. 20% did not include one Black character. Researchers said the industry should have target goals for change, and they say such targets should be made public. Stacy Smith said, "People are still erased. It's 2016, and it's time for a change. We've laid out concrete, actionable steps because we don't want to do this again in 10 years. I'm Katie Weaver.
A chocolate candy has been recalled in Europe after plastic was found inside a candy bar in Germany. Jim Dressback has more.
A U.S.-based candy maker recalled some of its candy bars produced in Europe after plastic was found inside them. The Mars Candy Company started the recall voluntarily Tuesday of candy made in the Netherlands. A small piece of red-colored plastic was found inside a Snickers candy bar purchased in Germany, according to a Mars press release. The recall includes Snickers, Mars, Milky Way, and Celebrations candies. The candy was made at the Netherlands facility from December 5, 2015 through January 18, 2016. In a press release, Mars called the manufacturing mistake an isolated incident. The company could not estimate how much candy were removed from store shelves. Mars said only candies made in Mars, Netherlands are affected by the recall. Consumers should look at the label on the candy to be sure. The recall affects 55 countries, said a spokesman for the candy company to the Associated Press. Mars Netherlands exports to many countries in Europe. The AP confirmed that Germany is one of the countries where the candy was recalled. Mars is one of the largest candy makers in the world. It owns and produces the brands M&M and Dove Chocolate. Mars also owns the world's largest chewing gum maker, William Wrigley Jr. Company. The candy maker's headquarters is in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm Jim Dressback.
This is What's Trending Today. Terrell Finner is a student at Columbia University in New York City. He is studying to be a doctor, but he should have his degree in social media. Finner posted a photo on social media dressed as if he were sick and in a hospital. He posted the photo in hopes of being excused from an upcoming exam. In the photo, he used his bed sheets to look like a hospital gown. He put iPhone earbuds in his nose to make it look like he needed oxygen. And he used a computer charger to look like he was receiving intravenous fluids. He even made a bracelet like the ones hospitals give to patients. Along with the photo, he wrote several tweets. In the tweets, he complained about a nosebleed. He said he was in the hospital. And then he posted other photos with the captions, "Current situation," and "God got me." He also wrote, "I'm emailing these pics, or pictures, to my chem prof, or professor, because I had a nosebleed and had to be hospitalized and can't take this midterm Wednesday." One Twitter user caught on to his joke quickly. He noted the pictures showed earbuds in Finner's nose. But that did not stop others on Twitter and social media from enjoying the joke and liking the pictures thousands of times. Some people probably thought he was serious about being in the hospital. Others were just enjoying his creativity. One of Terrell's friends wrote, "It's one thing when your foolishness is just amongst us, but now it's spread worldwide." Finner later wrote, "I didn't expect it to become this popular." Finner became a story himself when a blog posted some of his tweets. Finner later posted another photo of himself, saying he was released from the hospital, but he still needed oxygen, and those earbuds were still in his nose.
Finally, Katie Weaver joins us again for this week's Personal Technology Report on editing photos.
People take hundreds or even thousands of photographs with their smartphones. But when they take a special photo, they might want to make sure that the picture looks its best. Photos can preserve memories. They help people remember a special day or event. People also share photos on social media so others can enjoy them. Fodor is a free photo editing website and app. It comes with a lot of tools, but is easy to use. Use Fodor to improve and share images. It can also help create collections of favorite photos. Using the Fodor application software program is simple. Just download the Fodor app and create an account. The app can help improve pictures in several ways. It can make changes to color, brightness, and red, green, blue levels of a photo. Fodor users can add many choices of filters to change the way images look. Filters can reduce or remove unwanted light from a photo. A slider tool can help change the intensity of each filter. Fodor users can also add colorful stickers, words, and even picture frames to customize their photo. Focus is a Fodor editing tool that can reduce the sharpness or clarity of an image. This allows users to focus on a part of the image and blur out the rest. The Fodor app has a sharing button in the upper left corner of the screen. Click the button and the photo is saved so it can be shared using email, text message, and social media websites. Most of the tools on Fodor are free, but some must be purchased. The app provides a demonstration of such tools so they can be tried before they're purchased. The Fodor app works only in portrait view. The Vision section of the Fodor app is a place where people can share their images. Fodor holds competitions for the best images. Users can enter their photos in several different categories. The Fodor website can also help design images for social media, with preset fixed sizes for cover photos on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, and more. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.